I just want to recall a couple of the things that were shared during the meeting. There was a word from Colin about enlarging our vision and, you know, seeing things from God's perspective. And then there was a song that was shared in which the song was about giving our time and our worship and our everything as we magnify God. And I want to ask you, are you prepared to do that today? Are you prepared to align your vision with God's and to give him everything? I hope so. God wants you to raise your expectations for what he can do through you today. Now, this word is for everyone, but I had a specific heart today for Christians who have been doing church for quite a long time. For Christians who perhaps their passion has turned into a bit more of a routine, where you've maybe heard 1,000 sermons in your lifetime. You've sung Blessed Be Your Name hundreds of times. And perhaps your expectations are a bit lower for what God's going to do on a Sunday. It's just part of what you do. Maybe your faith is these days more like a background radio. It's on all the time. It's there. But it's not like, you know, when you pay hundreds of pounds for a gig and queue up for ages just to get in, just to experience some of that. I feel like God wants to speak to you today that he still has more for you, that he has more than that experience of your faith for you today. Now, young people, I know that the youth are staying in, don't switch off, because actually, we need you. Sometimes it's really encouraging for the older Christians to look at younger Christians and to see that zeal, that youthful energy that perhaps we once had. But also, I'm going to be talking today about the priorities of God and making sure that God's priorities are our priorities. And if you're quite young and a Christian, if you make these decisions now, it's going to benefit you so much more. The longer you walk with God and the more your priorities are aligned with God, the more fruitful your journey into like this long walk with God will be. So God wants to raise your expectations today about what he's going to do through you if we align our priorities with God's. So let's just pray that he'll do that. Heavenly Father, would you come and speak to us today? Give us your vision. Give us your insight into where you want us to go, what you want us to do, what your priorities for us are. Raise our expectations and speak to us now through your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So, now that I've raised your expectations, we're going to start with a history lesson. Woo! It'll be worth it, trust me. So, thank you, history graduate in the front row here, giving me the kind of encouragement I need. No, it's really important. We're going to be reading from the book of Haggai later on, but I want us to understand the context first. So in the Old Testament, the people of God, they've entered the promised land. They've made covenants with God that they're going to live with him and live for him and live distinctly. And in doing so, God's going to bless them and be with them. But as they go on, there are increasing warnings. If you keep breaking the covenant, things are going to go catastrophically wrong for you. You'll lose the land. You'll go into exile. Do they listen? No. They go into exile. The nation of Babylon takes over, takes a whole bunch of Israelites out of Israel into Babylon, and an exile community rises up there. But then history marches on. The Persians overtake the Babylonians, and they say, well, what do we do with all these exiles? Let's send them back. So we're getting to the story a little bit after they've been sent back to the land that they were promised. And when they first were sent back, they went back with enthusiasm. They're like, we're going to rebuild the temple. We're going to live once again as the people of God. But the first thing that they faced was 6 years of harsh opposition from the people that were still living there, who didn't want them building the temple. And that opposition got so powerful, they wrote to the Persian king Artaxerxes, from, I think, the story of Esther. And they said, you don't want this people rising up. You don't want them being powerful. Quash this. Quash their enthusiasm. So after 6 years of opposition, Artaxerxes said, right, I'm putting a stop to this. No more temple building. And then for 10 years, they were not allowed to work on the temple. So there was 16 years of returning to the land, full of enthusiasm, and then faced with setback after setback, and the temple lay in ruins. And that's where we join the story today. So we're in the book of Haggai, chapter 1, and it's going to come up on the screen here. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house, that is the temple, remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but you're not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thoughts to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I've called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else the ground produces, on people and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. So Haggai's message to the people of God after 16 years of frustration is, what are you doing? Why are you just focusing on your own houses when the temple lies in ruins? Your priorities are all out of whack. You're focusing on yourself, not on building the kingdom of God. But at first glance, you might actually sympathize with the exiles. It's been a long time. And first they're in exile, which can only have been lonely and alienating. They wouldn't have been settled. And then the enthusiasm of the return quashed by opposition. It's easy to imagine that they must have been frustrated, angry, perhaps just apathetic. Well, back then I was all ready to rebuild the temple, but it's never going to happen, is it? Maybe they've just forgotten. 16 years is a long time. So 16 years ago from today was 2008. Let's have a think about what 2008 was like. Barack Obama was on the campaign trail for the first time. The songs that you might have been listening to was Viva La Vida by Coldplay. You might have been listening to it on your iPod Nano. Youth, ask your youth leaders what an iPod Nano was. Maybe you would have been emailing your friends on your BlackBerry about Viva La Vida. Or maybe you couldn't afford a BlackBerry because of the financial crash that happened in 2008. As for me, I was quite a different person back then. I was 18. There's a photo of me there with my good friend Karis. You might recognize her as well. I was beardless. I hadn't moved to Edinburgh yet. And I was naive. I was cocky, I was optimistic. You know, I thought me, just me, I was going to change the world. And I was really excited about what God was going to do. Since then, however, 16 years is a long time. We've had the 2012 Olympics. That was great, wasn't it? We've also had three different referenda that we've had to vote in. Brexit and Scottish independence, obviously, but anyone remember alternative voting that happened back then? In the past 16 years, we've had the COVID pandemic. I think we all remember that. Time can wear you down quite a bit. I'm very different to how I was back then. I am barreling headfirst into middle age. So I've got into bird watching recently. I have back problems. And I think my faith is regularly at risk of just becoming a routine. And the zeal that I had as an 18-year-old has changed shape somewhat. Maybe you relate to that. The kind of weariness of time. And for the younger people, you know, this is something that you will need to guard against, is that gradual chipping away at your enthusiasm for what God can do through you. Hold on to it. And what it does is it nudges your priorities just a little bit further away from God's each time. And, you know, things like grief that you might experience over time, or frustration, or just the circumstances of life, are things that will understandably make you want to look inwards, to just care about, you know, your comfort, the things that are important to you, and slowly shift it away from God, what God wants. Life is hard right now. Cost of living crisis, global instability in the news, a culture that constantly seems to be at war with itself. It's exhausting. Self-preservation is an understandable instinct. But let's listen to Haggai. Because the times were tough for the people of God then, as they are now. And yet Haggai's message from God was still the same. Is it a time for you to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Consider your ways. The message is this, that even in hard times, even in the wake of frustration and apathy and forgetfulness, we will still find our greatest fulfillment when the purposes of God and the priorities of God become our priorities. So what I want us to look at briefly today is, how do we make sure that God's priorities are our priorities? And why we should make sure that God's priorities are our priorities. So first, the how. How do we know that what God prioritizes is also what we're prioritizing? And I think there are two forms that this can take. There's small tweaks and big changes. So I just got a bike for the first time since I was about 15. And yet another one of my increasingly middle-aged qualities is that now I really care about potholes. No, I got a bike so my commute could speed up a bit. And I ordered it online. And so it came with a courier in a box. And just in transit, it got bashed around a bit. And the gear derailleurs had become a bit misaligned. So when I cycled, the gears kept shifting. Now, thanks to Will Briggs, who came round with an Allen key and just tweaked the gear derailleur for me. And he realigned it so that now I could cycle smoothly and things would, the bike would work as it should. That's the small tweaks that we might need to make. But then if I was to crash that bike and buckle a wheel, small tweaks aren't going to fix that. You need a wholesale replacement of the wheel. So when we're looking at making sure that our priorities line up with God's priorities, Sometimes it's going to be small tweaks. Sometimes it's going to be big changes. How do you find the small tweaks you need to make? Well, I think you can do a priority audit, actually. And this is where the younger people in the room have an advantage, because you can put stuff in place now. You don't have to make these huge changes now. Whereas people who have been walking with God for a long time, things that they might just have got used to, those changes are going to be harder for them to make. But the way you do a priority audit is just look at a couple of things that you will have on your phone, your bank statements and your calendar, and they will quickly tell you what your priorities are. So how you spend your money, that's a great way of telling what your priorities are. That's from Scripture. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. So where you sow your money, that's your heart's going to follow there. But also, the same can be true of how you spend your time. So if you look at your calendar, that will quickly tell you where your priorities lie. And my question to you today is, what are the small things that you might maybe need to tweak? Just be like, actually, I'm not prioritizing building the kingdom of God in this area of my life. This one's more about me. Now, building the kingdom of God, that's not just coming to church on Sundays and going to small group during the middle of the week. But those are both great things and you should do them. But are you building a community that people can be welcomed into? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you blessing your neighborhood? Are you caring for your brothers and sisters in Christ and caring for the people in need around you who don't know Jesus? All of these are kingdom-building activities. And I think it's really healthy for everyone once in a while to just do a priority audit, to look at how they're spending their money and their time and just think, oh, I could maybe just adjust that a bit, just to realign, just so that our priorities are actually God's priorities. And what you'll find is that it'll be like the bike that's fixed and things will just move in the way that you want them to, in the way that God desires. But some of you might be called to make a big change. Last week, we heard a really encouraging message about adoption and how that's part of God's heart. Maybe that's something that sat with you throughout the week. Perhaps it could be church planting that God is calling you to. That's a big change. That's not something that's just going to happen with a small tweak of your life. It's a big change. That's a wheel change. Maybe God's calling you into a different career, because actually, you can do more to bring glory to God through a different job. And the way to know in these instances if God's priorities are your priorities is if you're feeling that tug in your heart and your first reaction is, but what about? That might indicate that maybe your priorities are misaligned. So if church planting is what you're feeling a nudge about, and the first thing you say is, but what about my mortgage? Or, but what about the school catchment area that we're in? That'd have to change. If changing your job is what God is nudging you towards, and the first thing is, but what about my income? I'd have to take a step down. What about my inexperience? I can't do that. It could just be a bit of a hint that actually you're prioritizing other things than the purposes of God for your life. Now, don't get me wrong. These big changes, they're not something you should charge headfirst into. You're supposed to weigh them up. Those what about questions are good, they're useful. You know, weigh them up with trusted Christians, with friends, with the elders of the church. You don't rush into the big changes. But my question to you today is the posture of your heart towards obedience to God's priorities or towards self-interest? And that's a really difficult question to answer, and that's something that you're going to need to go away and talk about. But But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And the things that you worry about, your food, your clothes, your home, will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Some of you are being called to the big life changes, to the big priorities that you need to adjust for. And you might be being held back by whatabouts. But if you seek first the kingdom of God, he will care for you. He will be with you. He will walk with you on that journey as you make that change. Which leads us to the why. Why is it better to make sure that God's priorities are our priorities? Why should we be seeking the kingdom first? Well, if we go back to Haggai, the word from God says, give careful thought to your ways. You've planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. He's referring to the original covenant promises of God in Deuteronomy, when God said, look, you will be my people, I will be your God, I'll be with you, and we're going to bless the world. I'm going to bless the world through you. And there will be blessings in obedience. But equally, if you step out of the covenant, if you step out of my priorities, of these kingdom-building purposes, you're going to be missing out on the fullness of what God has for the people of God. And this is what the people are finding here. This is what the exiles, the returning exiles, are finding here. They're finding that their harvests are poor, that they're dissatisfied with their life, that their money's going nowhere. Our flourishing exists within a covenant relationship with God. That is an agreement that we make with God where we say, I'm going to follow you. I'll be your people. You will be my God. And I want to live as you're calling me to do. And there's a warning from Haggai here that actually the moment our priorities are misaligned with God's, we're going to find dissatisfaction, a lack of fulfillment there. This is why for the young people in the room, it's so important that you put these things in place now, because this is the secret to satisfaction, is living in a way that puts God's priorities at the center of your life. And this is why some of the older Christians in the room might be feeling like their faith is background radio. Perhaps you're feeling stagnant or like it's just plateaued a bit. I wonder if the key to addressing that dissatisfaction that you might be feeling is to reprioritize the kingdom-building purposes of God. And it's not going to be like it was when you were 18. It's going to be better. A key to this is not nostalgia, reminiscing about how things used to be. It's like, oh, if only I could recapture the energy I had when I was 18. It's not going to happen. But actually, what you have is a richer experience because you are more aware of your weakness, but you also have testimonies of the goodness of God that you have experienced throughout your walk with him. And so you can step into the purposes of God knowing that he is faithful, because you've experienced, and you can lead the younger Christians in the room on that journey and say, I know God is faithful. And ultimately what that does is it brings glory to God and it brings fulfillment to us because we're stepping into what we're made for, what our purpose is. There's an old bit of liturgy called the Westminster Catechism, a way of teaching people theology. And the first question is, what's the chief end of man? What's the chief purpose of humankind? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy his presence forever. In a bit, we're going to sing a song, His Glory and My Good. And that's a great way of thinking about God's purposes for us. They're about his glory, but they're not burdensome. There'll be challenges, absolutely. You will face challenges as a Christian. But having the priorities of God as your priorities, it's not a burden because his heart is for your good as well. There are blessings in obedience. And so I would just encourage you, today, let's ask God, where do I need to make an adjustment? What are you calling me to? What are your priorities for me, God? What does my part in kingdom building look like? And perhaps actually, what rediscovering your zeal looks like, what rediscovering your passion for God looks like, is one of these big changes. Because it's going to take you to a place where God is. You're going to meet him there. And you'll be flying by the seat of your pants, not knowing how to do it. But in doing so, you're going to have to rely on God. And that's going to be an enriching and fulfilling experience for you. Because we're going to be stepping into the purposes that God has for us, the priorities that God has for you. So I'd really like us to respond now. And I want us to respond to what God says through Haggai here. Build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored. There's a gentle rebuke, I think, from God in this passage. But there's also a loving invitation into discovering what God has for you, into discovering what more God has for you. Never be content with just what you have now. God is infinite. He always has more. He is more than enough for you, and his priorities for you will lead to exciting and unexpected places. And God is going to be with you every step of the way. So we're going to respond in two ways. First, we're just going to have a time of reflection as the band plays. And the question I want to ask you is, what can you do today or this week to realign your priorities with God's priorities for you? What are the things you need to change? What might that look like for you? I think for a few of you, there might be a need for repentance even, of just saying, God, I know that I've not been pursuing you in this area. But mostly, I think it's an opportunity that God's offering. So we're just going to take this moment. Let's just stand. Heavenly Father, come and speak to us now. In a minute, we're going to sing. But we've got time. We've got time to just listen to God, to make our hearts available to him. Seek his priorities first. Father, come and speak to us by your Spirit now.